Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America. We are right at 10 o'clock on the East Coast this morning. And this morning, I'm not sure how long the program is actually going to last, but I'll tell you this much. This very well might be the most important program that I've actually held on Blog Talk Radio under any given pseudonym or or whatnot. All right, so America, their way. Now, I do have to correct my verbiage. Last night I typed, make no mistake, they will not quit until conservatism is eradicated. I want to change that up a little bit. Excuse me, because that's not really all that accurate. Make no mistake, they will not quit until Christian conservatism is eradicated. They will not quit until American conservatism is eradicated. Make no mistake, it is not Middle Eastern, Asian, and African conservatism in most cases that is in the chopping block, so to speak, or headed to the gallows, or however you want to word that. Excuse me. Anyway, this, again, is going to be the most important program, and I'm looking for your phone calls this morning at 929-477-4090. I wanted to, and interestingly enough, I want to talk a little bit about Justice Antonin Scalia's. There's a great article. Goodness, my coffee didn't play me right this morning. It might have been the sugar. I like to have a little bit of a roasted flavor, but at the same time. Anyway, so there's an amazing piece in the Monday, October 31st Washington Times, which is my news source in print, and by Bradford Richardson of the Washington Times, entitled Scholars, Faith Revealed Scalia's Moral Courage in Law Approach. And then the byline, Catholic Scholars Honor Late Justice's Spiritual Life. And a really nice article. I read it last night, and I'm going to cover part of that in today's second portion of the program itself. But I wanted to get to a couple other things first, because change came to America. That's right, folks. Barack Hussein Obama was not lying, not kidding, not fibbing, not cajoling us when it came to his original statement, change has come to America. And more specifically, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia's form of the Catholic faith is sitting in their crosshairs, period. And also Christian conservatism, North American Christian conservatism in general, is in their crosshairs. It's their faith, their way, their country, their way, their faith, their way, or the highway. You know what? It is time that the moral minority to the tune of 5% of America stand shoulder to shoulder and stand up to these hoodlums. You can put a suit on, you know, you can put a suit on any given, generally speaking, any given organizer within any given city, and in many cases they're still a Black Panther just because they're wearing a suit, just because they hold high offices in the United States, and they proven time and again that they're after actual Christians, even in Chicago and other cities around the nation, true Christianity. All right, so we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to cover the Justice Antonin Scalia article like I said, in the Monday, October 31st edition of the Washington Times, and and a couple other things today. Like I said, I'm looking for a phone call at 929-477-4090 if you want to talk about America their way or the highway kind of thing. Make no mistake, they are today's Nazi party right here in the North American continent within these the United States of America, and a ruling class nonetheless. They've taken off all the masks. It is the day after Halloween, and there is no longer a mask that they can hide behind. Because, you know, I want to just mention a couple of things. Actually, you know, the apple cannot fall far from our inner onion, the one that stated that change has come to America, and it certainly has. And it's time we stand up as Christians in North America, and it's time we tell some of these judges to go to hell. You know, the ones that are demanding, you know, pastors in not one, but at least two American cities have been ordered to turn over their sermons. I would say you can go to hell and tell your inner onion his czars, her czars, whatever, I don't know, Justice Department is willing to fly into any given city when this takes place. Such an egregious act, collectively speaking, by these mayors and governors and so forth of these or mayors within these cities that have ordered Christian pastors to turn over their sermons. Well, why don't you just go and sit down in an actual Christian church for once, or a Catholic church that's still actually Catholic, if you will, and abides by something sweeter than your inner onion could ever offer the free world, or ever has offered, for that matter. You know, it's a darn good thing that NBC predicates most of their programming with Chicago, because that urban city needs all the first responders it can get. That's kind of my nugget today. I was going to leave that morsel for the end, but I thought it might fit there. So I went ahead and used it there. Yeah, it's a darn good thing that NBC predicates most of its programming with Chicago, because that particular urban city, with some of the most stringent gun control laws in the nation, leads, categorically speaking, leads the way in terms of urban death and so forth. As a matter of fact, I was chatting with a friend on Facebook yesterday, and it's interesting because one particular presidential candidate, or a presidential candidate in particular by the name of Hillary, actually, she, by virtue of how she and the Democratic liberal cronies and Nazis, they're so quick to jump and say stop and frisk is unconstitutional. Okay, well, just because our urban centers are comprised, you know, the geopolitical makeup of their persuasion and skin tone is generally speaking darker than lighter. And you certainly have your Christians there, far and few between, true Christians. you know, stop and frisk is unconstitutional. No, it's not. Anyone, that should be one of the litmus tests for America, by the way. If you believe that stop and frisk is unconstitutional, you're not a true American. Stop and frisk is unconstitutional. I have close family members now that are talking about the concealed permit courses in their given states. And, you know, stop and frisk. Just go ahead, scumbags. I don't care. If you want to just even out the numbers, just cruise out to the countryside a little bit and stop and frisk some white people, and you're going to find out that 95% of the time, just like 99% of firearm-related deaths occurs each and every day in our urban centers. And it doesn't take someone with a high IQ to realize that 99% of the time it's black on black crime. So what you're doing is by calling stop and frisk, which evidently worked quite well in New York City for a season under an actual leader in Giuliani, you know, look, if you're against that, then you're actually part of the problem. You're actually more responsible than gun manufacturers for deaths. Yes, you are actually more responsible for gun-related or firearm-related deaths than manufacturers are. Sorry to tell you, but we must start telling you the truth. Unless mayors are willing to hold imams, Muslim or Islamic imams' feet to the fire and demand that they begin to turn over their sermons, then we should tell the left to go to hell, because the scale, Lady Liberty, you know, someone should just go up and just deface the blindfold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Lady Liberty, or go up and just put some eyes on the outside of the blindfold or something. Or put one giant eye and a swastika. Appropriate, actually. But give me a call at 929-477-4090. I did want to get into this a little bit because I've already covered the fact that I think pastors and Christians around the United States should stand shoulder to shoulder and tell this government to screw themselves until they are ready to hold imams to the same fire that they would hold a pastor to. Otherwise, you're showing kind of a preference, right? And who needs Congress at that point if you can just sick your Lois Lerner's and IRS and have your dogs do the dirty work and the inner onion always comes out smelling well like an inner onion, something that brings actual Americans to tears and not laughter via laughter any longer. But I think, you know, we're in a lot of trouble here. Yeah. If this continues at this pace, we will be Nazi Germany. And I want to cover that. I had to look for it this morning, and I went directly to the EEOC, the United States EEOC, certainly probably a beloved tool of the Inner Onion in terms of this particular case. I'm sure he didn't weigh in behind the lines off the record. I'm sure there was nothing that this Inner Onion had to say about this particular case. But interestingly enough, to find out for myself if this particular case had any merit, because I never really followed up in terms of the Facebook icons concerning this particular case, where a jury awarded $240,000 to Muslim truck drivers in EEOC religious discrimination suit. I'm going to read you this really quick because there are a few lines here that are quite interesting and quite telling and quite damning where actual Christianity and Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, is concerned one day. That this story alone will be damning. Especially if in their, their job description for Star Transport, if Star Transport's job description actually spoke to the fact that their drivers would transport alcoholic beverages from time to time, then, but I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's just a few lines, and you're going to see the duplicity here, the duplicitous, the bullcocka, the duplicitous dirtbag left. Okay, so a federal jury in Peoria, Illinois, has awarded $240,000 to two Somalian American Muslims who were fired from their jobs as truck drivers at Star Transport, and this comes directly from the government website. And over-the-road trucking company, when they refused to transport alcohol because it violated their religious beliefs. What about a baker's religious beliefs? What waves? According to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which brought the case, okay, so I'm sure the Inner Onion at least applauded this, the findings in this case, at the very least. You know, I had a couple salutary drinks on the behalf of his Muslim brothers and so forth. The trial started on October 19th, and the jury returned its verdict the next day after 45 minutes of deliberation. Judge James E. Shadid. Anyway, the chief judge of the U.S. District Court for the Central District of Illinois, the cesspool that it is, the urban jungles there, and found in favor of EEOC after Star Transport admitted liability in March 2015. The resulting trial was to determine compensatory and punitive damages and back pay. So the jury awarded Mahad, Abbas, Muhammad, and Hassan Bullshale $20,000 each in compensatory damages and $100,000 each in punitive damages. Judge Shadid, I had to look this guy up. It's not really the most American last name I've ever seen in my life, but or North American, or even African American, which I thank God for the fact that we are a melting pot, and we were before change came to America. We were doing better, in fact, before Obama's change came to America. But Judge Shadid awarded each approximately $1,500 in back pay as well. All right, so EEOC alleged that in 2009, Star Transport fired Muhammad and Bullshale after they were required to transport alcohol. Both men told us that they believed doing so would violate their religious beliefs under Islamic law. What about baking a cake? How is that different? under Christian conservatism, actual conservatism, which is really only 3% of America at this point, so your modern family is in charge of everything. So why don't you just start your own churches and your own scouting groups if you're actually American? That's the other litmus test. If you are actually American, you would start more of your own churches and your own scouting organizations rather than picking on bullying the actual 3% of conservative Christianity and in these Nazi, not really, a third of the states are kind of Nazi in fashion and form. Certainly in the Inner Onion circle, we're looking at Nazi practices and Sharia shenanigans and so forth, sticking lowest learners, and then the lowest learner worm. Wow, you know, interestingly enough, the lowest learner worm may be an arsonist as well, because not one, but two sets of would-be pertinent tax returns for a certain quote-unquote gentleman went up in flames. And anyway, all right. So now watch this. The EEOC is proud to support the rights of workers to equal treatment in the workplace without having to sacrifice their religious beliefs or practices. Yeah, said EEOC General Counsel David Lopez. This is fundamental to the American principles of religious freedom and tolerance. Well, David Lopez, where were you with our bakers in Colorado and out in the Northwest? The case was litigated by EEOC trial attorneys Aaron DeCamp and June Calhoun and supervisory trial attorney Diane Smasson. I wonder if that's a typo, S-M-A-S-O-N. Probably not. Calhoun said, this is an awesome outcome. Star Transport failed to provide any discrimination training to its human resources personnel, which led to catastrophic results for these employees. They suffered real injustice, as opposed to the injustice suffered by a couple of bakers as of late, and a couple of pastors as of late, that actually needed to be addressed. By this verdict, the jury remedied the injustice by sending clear messages to Star Transport and other employers that they will be held accountable for their unlawful employment practices. Moreover, they signaled to Mr. Muhammad and Mr. Bullshale that religious freedom is a right for all Americans, except if you're a baker or a pastor, conservative baker or conservative pastor. That could be brought to tears because you truly didn't want to hurt someone else's feelings, and that wasn't the point of not baking the cake in the first place. But you wouldn't understand that because you are mod family. So Smason stated, we are pleased that the jury recognized that these and all employees are entitled to observe and practice their faith, no matter what that might be. Well, what about the small company, family-run company, that employees are largely comprised of ownership? Well, that's a question for another day. Perhaps yesterday would have been more important if people were actually true Americans. Litigate that, duplicitous dirtbag losers. Bullshale commented, "This case makes me proud to be an American." Oh, I'm so glad for you. So glad for you that you've received preferential treatment from our EEOC, the United States EEOC, in fact, which is probably headed up by a czar, nonetheless, or rather than a cabinet member. But well, that's a program for another day. But EEOC enforces federal laws prohibiting employment discrimination. Furthermore, information about EEOC is available on its website, www.eeoc.gov. Well, kudos to you, Inner Onion Collective. Inner Onion Change has come to America. All right, so I covered that. And if you want to talk about any of that, call me at 929-477-4090. How do you differentiate betwixt a family-owned and run company whose owners are its only employees at that point? That burns, doesn't it, for those of you with... No, it wouldn't burn, because most of you have an IQ under 82 or so, as reflected by Dianne Feinstein. Yeah, you look in a mirror and you get that. Ooh, God help us. Wow. All right, look, so I'm going to close out today's program with this. So it's okay for an irresponsible member of society to retain strict religious self-preference and preservation where they're concerned, right? But it's not okay for a responsible member of society to apply the entirety of the Bible to his or her life where business ownership is concerned, right? That, my friends, is a slippery slope at best, except when and while good is referred to as evil and evil is referred to as good, which is basically what's going on today. And even so, come Lord Jesus. Ooh, did he just say that on an American individual American radio program? Or is it EEOC? Come on, baby. Come my way. I don't have a whole lot of money to give you, but anyway, I have a modicum of my conscience remaining. All right, so let's get to portion number two of today's program, and the great loss on the Supreme Court. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's interesting because there are so many conspiracy theories out there right now. On the left, you've got the conspiracy theory that Russia's behind all the hackings. On the right, you've got the conspiracy theories that the Inner Onion is going to create a false flag and quote unquote, and then not leave office. And, you know, with some of the, at the very least, interesting notes out there about and tweets and Facebook posts on the Honorable Antonin Scalia, and you know, some of the facts, interestingly enough, surrounding his death. It could be. It really could be. They could be after our guns. No doubt about it. Dude was on a hunting trip. Ooh, what an evil American. In the new America, change has come to America. We, you know, guns are the, and manufacturers are the problem, not the trigger. Oh, goodness. All right, I'm going to read this article. All right. I'm going to give you the call number one more time at the end of this article. Actually, I do have a couple of points where I can stop and take a call. 929-477-4090 is the call number. All right, so Bradford Richardson, kudos, sir. Antonin Scalia, he writes, Antonin Scalia disputed the notion that his Catholicism had anything to do with his interpretation of the Constitution. And that, I'll finish that thought. But Catholic scholars say the moral courage evident in the late Supreme Court justice's approach to reading law is poignantly revealed in his faith. That's true, where justice actually rules the day. But it's interesting because we, and I believe Justice Antonin, the late great Justice Antonin Scalia and Martin Luther King, would agree that, as history would have it, there is another historical advantage to, not today, to actually individually believing that God placed a particular tree in the garden and informed Adam and Eve that if they touch it or eat from it, you know, that they would surely die. And interestingly enough, God wasn't creating clones. But today's Nazi party is new God, and it's actually a new religion, if you think about it, because, you know, it's their way, America, their way, or the highway. And in particular, Timmy Boy Keene, has said that if America's Catholics, true Catholics, foundational Catholicism, which I don't adhere to, but nonetheless doesn't get on board, that they will have to leave America in terms of, now wait a second. Okay, so have justices of the peace, and we don't have homosexual churches evidently, and we don't have homosexual and lesbian clergy members around the United States. And we certainly don't have, in the absence of actual American LGBTQers that will create their own churches, plant their own churches, and start their own scouting groups. Oh my goodness. That are actually American enough, Eureka, to do so. Well, okay, so I'm going to move back to the article. A group of leading Catholics from across the country, gathered in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday evening to honor the spiritual life of the intellectual giant. That's awesome. Scalia, who died in February, was posthumously awarded the John Paul II New Evangelization Award by the Catholic Information Center. The jurist widow, Maureen Scalia, and son, Father Paul Scalia, accepted the award on his behalf. All right. The keynote address was delivered by Ed Whelan. That's probably Whelan. Anyway, a former Scalia law clerk who now heads the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Drawing extensively from the justice's writings on religion, Mr. Whelan said Scalia spurned the notion that he was somehow a Catholic justice. I like that. Most adults are actually able to separate themselves. American adults, at least, that should be another litmus test, are actually able to separate their faith from their, no, I shouldn't say that, but from their judgment, collectively speaking, in terms of individuality and the Constitution, which, you know, just a little, excuse me, footnote, but I find it hard to believe that the white people that ended up surviving through the first few winters, which certainly aren't my ancestors per se, but seeing that not all white people came over here are a product of those that came over here on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Interesting enough, they were escaping religious intolerance in many cases. And so I find it hard to believe that they were forcing their Christianity down the American Indian's throat. And give me a call if you were actually here for those conversations, because I would like to talk to you at 929-477-4090. And we can talk about how you've been around for decades, centuries, and if not millennia, and here for those conversations between white men, evil white men, whitey, and there certainly were evil white people, but if you're escaping religious intolerance, chances are pretty good that you're not going to force it. You know, like, if you want to share it, you're excited to share it, and today we label everything and everything in a derogatory fashion, where today's modern family is concerned, from the White House to the czars and to a new candidate and so forth, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth and so on, since we have these Nazi youth now. But who am I to judge? I'm just another Christian American, part of the 3%. That believes in the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and certainly other amendments as well. So, for nature for another day. But back to the article. Understood that way, the label of Catholic justice is something that Justice Scalia emphatically rejected, Mr. Whalen said. As he put it, now this is really, really key here. Here you go, Libby's, Libtards, Democrats, I don't think there's any such thing as a Catholic judge. This is a quote from the Honorable Scalia. There are good judges and bad judges. The only article of faith that plays any part in my judging is the commandment, thou shalt not lie. Wow. If that was the foundation for Judge Justice Scalia's life, then God bless him, God keep him, and God keep his posterity by the mighty right hand, mighty right arm of the Lord Jesus Christ. But prominent Princeton professor Robert George, who emceed the event, said Scalia did not. All right, well, I think that there can be a case made for both. He said the devotion, and again, this is Robert George, a Princeton professor, said the devotion with which Scalia defended the Constitution found its earliest and deepest expression in his commitment to the Church. No one in the nation, no one in the history of the nation, ever had greater fidelity to our Constitution and the principles of a Republican government than Antonin Scalia. God, there's that horrible, horribly atrocious tag, Republican, right? Just give a little shout out there. Mr. George said to the left, but his fidelity, I can't help but think, was simply a kind of further development, a further expression of that more profound fidelity that Nino had for Jesus Christ and to his Church. Mr. George just kind of touched on fundamental tenets of the faith, which the modern family really has discarded. They need their own Bible, they need their own churches, and they need their own scouting organizations. I'm sure that they have plenty of bakeries that would be splendidly joyous to bake people a cake. That devotion was also evident in Scalia's family life, enumerated by 55 years of marriage, 9 children, and 36 grandchildren as of this writing. At the heart of Scalia's spiritual, familial, and intellectual fidelity was a quality he called moral courage. I like that. There's no longer any moral courage today. There's courage, there's proud courage, there's Modern Family, Courage. There's really no longer Presidential Courage, because Presidential Courage would hold Imam's feet, collective feet, to the same fire that they might hold, that a mayor might hold Christian pastors to in the America that was exceptional. Now, it goes on to say he was fond of quoting C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters, in which courage is defined as... Now, this is important, Libby's. Listen up so that you can kind of grow out of your safe space and egregious microaggressions that you've suffered. All right, so, quote, not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at its testing point, which means at the point of its highest reality or quality. Mr. Whelan cited a speech Scalia gave to a junior ROTC regiment at his alma mater, Xavier High School in Manhattan. Scalia, who had been a member of the regiment in his youth, attempted to convey the lesson that practicing physical courage in defense of one's country develops the moral courage necessary to a life of Christian virtue. And kudos, quick shout out to the Honorable Benjamin Netanyahu and what they, the greatness that they're achieving, even creating buffer zones to protect their posterity from aren't willing to be peaceful. And let's move on. Scalia also understood that moral courage expresses itself differently based on different circumstances. While the soldier must be prepared to lay down his life in the service of others, moral courage for the layman rarely requires the sacrifice of one's life. Exactly. Interestingly enough, is there any moral courage? Did moral courage die with the honorable late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia? Yeah, it pretty much has. It's pretty much a thing of the past with the new Mod family. The virtue found varied expression in Scalia's own life. Mr. George recalled the meekness with which the jurors called on Christians against the grain of academia and popular culture to be fools for Christ. Okay, yeah, so... that to live, to exist as a United States, in a United States, with a modern family, that it would require the motivation of a salmon, perhaps far too often. Mr. George recalled the meekness, you all remember him famously saying that we are all called to be fools for Christ in a world that refuses to recognize the life of Christ. And, wow, that's driving the nail through the wood. In a world in which sophisticated people believe faith is a foolish thing, Mr. George said, which is actually true. That's spot on. Well, then, we will be in the eyes of the world fools for Christ. And gosh, that was so inspiring to me, and I'll bet it was inspiring to you as well. The meek moral courage of Scalia's face stands in stark contrast to the vocal courage he summoned in defense of the Constitution. While he may have been a fool for Christ, Scalia was not one to suffer foolish arguments from the bench. Scalia's conception of moral courage contained multitudes, but it did not contradict itself. Well, God forbid it wouldn't contradict itself in today's America, this brave new world. Mr. Whelan said Scalia saw faith and reason not as in conflict, but in the words of Pope John Paul II, as two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. That's pretty awesome. I'm not a Catholic, and that wouldn't, but we certainly have our similarities, and we certainly have our differences, and not because Christianity stems from Catholicism, in my opinion, but because we certainly have our similarities and differences
in terms of the Mod family and modern Catholicism. As a jurist, Antonin Scalia was an apostle of textualism, Mr. Whalen said. As a man, he was a disciple of the Word. By his example and quiet counsel, he encouraged those of us who knew him to embrace our faith more deeply and to strive to live our own lives of moral courage and integrity, unquote. Thank you, Sir Bradford Richardson of the Washington Times, for an exceptional article. All right, guys, remember you can check me out online at 40and28.weebly.com. I did want to close just briefly. I'm going to get a drink of water first. If you don't like it, tough. This is also my America Still. Not for much longer, probably, but one moment. I want to close here because this really, I want to tie everything together and tie it up. Cinch it up like a calf roper. That hasn't been had his driveway crapped in by a would-be Wall Street occupier from North Dakota. All right, so during the 2016 vice presidential debate, Tim Kaine talked religious liberty, alluding to the sanctity of choice as it pertains to individualism, but only where pro-choice choicers are concerned. So, Timmy boy, what about the lowest learner worm form of dictatorship that reeks of next to Sharia shenanigans and has ruled the day for 8 long years now, Timmy boy? So, anyway, back to the end of this program. Remember, like I said, you can check me out at 40and28.weebly.com. It's Dakota and Lone Star, for those of you that be a wee bit slowage. and hope you have a wonderful day. I think today is my most important program. I apologize in one respect for opening the program with much snottage to deal with in my throatage. Now that that's cleared, I'm going to have a great day. And I want to leave you again with my closing thoughts. So it's okay for an irresponsible member of society to retain strict religious self-preference where pro-choice is concerned, even though 99% of abortions probably occur at the hands of North Carolina state lady, quote unquote ladies, that you know, this new modern family that's upset by this common sense of a certain presidential candidate, but certainly okay with being bused to polling places via a Vogue award, complete with Magic Mike aboard and or a male stripper. So that's the new American lady for you. This is the new America. Change has come to America. Follow me on Twitter at @DOC_OTA Lone Star, on Facebook, Dakota, DAKOTA Lone Star. Like me over there. Let's get this rolling, shall we? And I wish that a one sentence or you know, not even a sentence, grammatically speaking, other than screw you, a big screw you to the U.S. mayors that have demanded and, in fact, commanded, seeing that change has come to America, that pastors turn over their sermons, and yet certainly not having the same boldness or so it's really an impropriety and an egregious trampling constitution of our constitution. So see ya, wouldn't want to be ya when the actual millennium comes about, really, but good luck in that millennium that historically would have it that Jesus Christ shall rule in. All right. Shh. Ciao.